Welcome to the Wealth Equation Podcast with me, Wealth Ninja Kristen Wunsch. If you want to be wealthy, but money feels like physics and the thought of making a budget makes you want to die, stick around. Here, we break it all down super simply. We demystify wealth so you run your money instead of your money running you. We're here to ditch the hustle, earn more, hold more, and grow more simply. We're coming in hot with practical teachings, deep mindset shifts, and the perfect amount of woo-woo so that you become the kind of woman who creates wealth with ease. Money is a dance party if you let it be. You were born for wealth, and by pressing play, your up-level begins.
Hello, my beautiful humans. Today, I want to talk to you about how to scale beyond 100K. You've hit 100 grand a year, and then what? Different actions are required at each level of earning. A different focus, different thinking, asking yourself different questions. The first 100K is typically created, built by doing a lot of shit. Up to 100K, you're usually trading time for money. After that, it gets harder to do more shit and to trade time for money. You really need to think in a different way. So in order to talk about how to scale your income, I want to first address where people tend to go wrong. Scaling mistakes. The first place is really adding before you've optimized. So if you haven't nailed one thing, jumping to something new is not the answer. Let me repeat that. If you have not yet nailed one thing, pivoting into something new isn't the answer. I cannot tell you how often I see this. A launch that doesn't go well, people change what they're offering. People try to pivot without understanding why things aren't working. So the thing that they pivot into experiences typically a lot of the same things and often the same sets of beliefs that were creating the results that you didn't want in the first place follow you into the new pivot. You can't scale your income or your business if you're always doing something new. You really can only scale through mastery. So not to say that you can't add new things, but doing a bunch of new things all the time doesn't give you the consistency and the reliability and the structure you need to actually scale. And you know what's way more fun than launching something new? Reliable money, reliable results for your clients. The more things you can count on in your business and your money, the more free your time and energy will be. The more free time and energy you'll have to be creative. When you tell yourself that something is going to be more fun, you do yourself and your clients a disservice. Here's the thing. Business gets to be really fun. I fucking love my business. And it's gotten more and more fun the more we know what we're doing. The more consistent we get about delivering to clients, the better clients' results get, the more fun it really is for everyone. Your business doesn't get paid based on how much fun you have. And this is an important distinction that we need to make about business. Money is a medium of exchange. So people pay you money for things that they perceive to be valuable for them. So it's not that you don't get to have fun in the process of earning money. You absolutely do. But if you're prioritizing your own fun above the value that you're delivering for people, you will make less money. That's just a fact. You get to have both. But value to those people who are paying you needs to be your highest priority if you desire to scale your income. You also get to have a lot of fun in the rest of your life. What if the most fun thing to do is delivering insane value for clients, for your team? Just because it's a good idea doesn't mean it's good for your business. I really want you to stop trying to do more shit. Overcomplicating things is not the answer. You can have 1,000 good ideas, and it doesn't mean you need to build them all into your business. And it doesn't mean that all 1,000 of those ideas need to be built in right now. Simple is easier. Simple is better for your clients. Simple is better for you and your bank account. The first scaling mistake is really not having optimized the first thing you're doing. So when you think about the things that you're currently, the products you're currently offering, or the services that you're currently delivering, or the one thing, hopefully, that you are focused on, think about how long, you know, when it comes to optimization, this is what I mean. How long does it take you to make it? You know, if you're knitting baby sweaters before diversifying into baby pants and baby socks and baby hats, how long does it take you to make the baby sweater? And can you get more and more efficient at making baby sweaters before you jump to something new? Optimizing how long it takes you to sell it. Maybe it takes you 4 weeks to earn $20,000 or 6 weeks of prep to do a launch that nets you $50,000 in sales. How can you get more efficient at that? 2 weeks to earn $20,000 or maybe only 3 weeks of prep. How long does it take you to deliver it? So if you're delivering a coaching program, you know, the client results that you're getting people, does it take you 3 months or 6 months to get them? Or say you're delivering a website design, does it take you 6 weeks to build that website? And optimization could actually do it in 3 or 2. What does that look like for you? How much does it cost you to make and deliver? You know, if you sell products and you have manufacturing, is there optimization that you could get in that manufacturing, right? If you scale to, say, 10,000 units instead of 1,000, do you get better pricing? This is what it means to optimize, getting more efficient with the amount it's costing you, the amount of time it takes you, and are you hitting your goal? So are you at capacity for the number of clients you can take on or the number of projects you can deliver? For Women's Money Mastery, we have been running this program for the last number of years. I think we've done 7 or 8 rounds now. And I can see the next offer. It's been brewing in the background for so long. And I know that right now we could launch it. I've basically built it. We absolutely could launch it. But I know as a team, we are not resourced enough right now to do that effectively. So it's not a no, it's just a no right now. And it is part of my plan for the rest of this year, but it doesn't mean it has to happen today. So the first place to scale, to look at when it comes to scaling, is the easiest thing to do is do more of what's already working. Have you exhausted all of your current marketing channels? Have you reached capacity doing what you're currently doing, whether it's manufacturing or, you know, marketing on Instagram or Facebook? I have a client who sells wigs in New Zealand, and we've discussed this. She's, you know, one of the best wig makers in all of New Zealand and is looking at expanding into Australia because, you know, New Zealand only has, I think, 4.2 million people. So it's a small market, right? And we've talked about her expansion into Australia and what that would look like. And of course, it's a yes. But the question came up is, has she tapped the New Zealand market yet? Has she actually exhausted all of her connections are there? The Facebook group she currently operates in, all of her marketing, everything she's doing is based in New Zealand. And until she's exhausted everything there, it's going to be way easier for her to do more of what's working in New Zealand than to expand into Australia and spread her resources and her capacity even more thin. Because Australia, like anything new, will require more time to learn and understand the market, finding more of the places and the people who want her offers that haven't yet heard of her. You know, all the places that she currently operates in,
still have people that haven't yet heard of her that are dying to buy from her without having to look at expanding into a new market with new logistics and new operators and new, you know, manufacturing and all of the things that go into exploring a new, you know, new market, new opportunity. The second thing that you want to think about when it comes to scaling your income is the concept of leverage. So leverage is basically being able to put in the same inputs and get more output. So, you know, if you think about putting in an hour of your time and earning more for it, how could that be possible? Well, I'm going to talk about a couple of ways that you can create leverage for yourself. The first is hiring. You know, if you think about a team, you know, what are the lowest value activities that you do? What are the things you're not very good at? For me, my zone of genius is coaching and delivering to clients and creating content, you know, idea creation, this podcast, for example. That's where my brain is best spent, not doing admin or tech or design. I'm very shitty at all those things. And so when it comes to hiring, bringing on people that can fill the gaps that you aren't good at filling, and also take items and tasks and things off your plate that are lower value than the high value things that you really need to be delivering. Another way to create leverage is raising your rates. You know, in raising your rates, you don't just do it willy-nilly across the board, like charge more. You really want to be confident that you're over-delivering at that level. But many of you probably are. Many of you are probably already delivering at a much higher level than you're charging for. And so the question becomes, what's in the way of you raising your rates? Some people believe they're going to lose clients. Yes, you will. That's not a bad thing. If you doubled your rates, you could afford to lose half your clients and you would make more money and you'd work half the time. Keeping clients isn't the goal. When you earn more, you can eventually create offerings at those lower levels. You're more resourced. You serve more people. But you don't get there by keeping your rates really low for here and forever always. The third way of creating leverage is creating systems in your business. And I know some people get freaked out at the idea of creating systems or structure inside of their business or their money, because it feels, I think a lot of people and a lot of women tend to think it feels constricted. Like it feels like it's going to box you in. And the reality is, around systems and processes and structure, it actually sets you free. It gives you so much more free time. Every time we run Women's Money Mastery, the women in my container get videos. They get video trainings of all of the actual information. They get worksheets. It took me a shit ton of time to create all those videos the first time and the worksheets. But the fact that they get to watch all those videos, hours and hours and hours of content, and I don't have to deliver that training every single time, means that I can spend more time on our weekly coaching calls where they actually get individualized support, right? Deep dive coaching on the things that are coming up for them. I get to spend more time thinking about how I can support them. Last round, I offered all of my clients a one-on-one bonus sessions to go deeper, even deeper on the things that were really going to move the needle for them. I spend more time reviewing, you know, their action templates, thinking about their individual businesses, answering all of their questions in detail inside of our Facebook group. So that's what becomes available when I don't have to, you know, spend all of the same time writing the same email again and again. That we deliver in the same way creates consistent results for clients, gives them structure, gives them support. Things aren't haphazard. We're not reinventing the wheel every time. And people aren't lost. the processes, and that actually creates better results for clients and more freedom for everyone and more trust for them because they can trust the process. When it comes to leverage and being able to scale your income, there are often one of the biggest blocks I find people have are that they believe it's going to be more work and harder to earn more money. And I really want you to dance into this possibility. This is something that came up in a few conversations recently. What if it were actually easier to make $1 million than $100,000? I want you to take your mind to that place. How could that be true? What are all the ways that that actually could be possible? Because it is if you create it. The next thing that you really have to think about when you want to scale your income is the reality that you're probably going to need to stop doing things that are working. And this is often really hard. If you're at $100,000, you can't work 10 times more to hit $1 million. You need to do things differently. If you're delivering everything, you can't scale that way. You really need to replace things that might be working right now with the next iteration. Often this means saying no to money, which is really one of the hardest things for people to do because they believe that saying no to money means it'll be less money. And it's actually the opposite. When you say no to money, say, you know, clients are at your old rates, or saying no to one-on-one work, right? Saying no to one-on-one work instead of group work, or saying no to you delivering instead of one of your team members delivering. Like, I have a client that makes great money contracting. She's making, you know, a few $100,000 a year through that avenue. And she wants to expand her product-based business, which is actually scalable beyond her, because people can buy through her website and then she, you know, delivers and the logistics are taken care of, but she doesn't need to physically trade 1 hour in order to earn X amount. She needs to be willing to say no to that contracting work to free up the time to build out the product-based business online. And this doesn't happen all at once. It's not just like we close shop on that and then go fully into the other realm. But it does require saying no to what might be well-paying work at the moment. So maybe you go from 100% in one place to 75% to 50, and you have a plan to eventually scale that down. So this means sometimes short-term sacrifices for that long-term vision. And that's what gets you to scale. I want you to think about, if you were to 10x your income, what would break? What would break in your business? What would fall apart? Do you know where all of that money would go? Do you have a system for it to flow into? Would you be able to take on that many clients and serve them? What would you need to set up in your business and your money to actually support you to deliver at that level and to hold and grow that much money? You need to be making those moves now. You don't get to that level by getting there and then deciding how to support it. You set the structure and the system first. And the last thing I really need you to know is you need to be willing to fail in all of this. Last year, I hired a support coach because, you know, for that reason, I was thinking about, you know, as we scale the business and as we take on more clients, I need to be able to have the structure and the systems to support our delivery at that level. And so I hired a support coach. I spent months training her. I paid her for all of her work. And we got midway through the round, and I realized I don't need a support coach. What I actually need is more team members supporting the admin and the tech and more of the systems and structure, that I don't need support on the delivery. That's actually not the skill set that I needed to hire for. But I wouldn't have known that until I did it. At some point in the future, I will need that skill set, but that's not the next thing. A lot of this you will not figure out in your mind. You've got to be willing to fail. You've got to be willing to hire the wrong person. You've got to be willing to spend money that you'll never get back. That's all part of the process. It's the cost of doing business. The last thing I'll say on all of this is that any strategy that works will work. When you think about scaling your business or scaling your income, you know, Facebook ads, organic traffic, partnerships, freebies, low ticket, high ticket, like whatever it is, there are 10,000 ways to build a business. And you can see this from many successful business owners that have done it in thousands of different ways. Don't get caught thinking that it's the strategy. If there is a level, of course, you need to have a strategy that works, but there's no one strategy that will get you there. Any strategy that works will work. If there is a level that you've hit that you can't seem to break through, it's a mindset thing. It's not a strategy thing. There will be a belief or a set of beliefs that are operating in your mind that are holding you back. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that you're broken or there's anything wrong. It just means you have blocks, like we all do. Maybe you have a belief that you can't find good people or that nobody can do it better than you. I had this operating for so long. So where that left me was me doing fucking everything, which wasn't fun or successful, let me tell you, led to burnout. Or maybe you believe that more money will bring you more problems. And so you're keeping your income at a certain level because you're trying to subconsciously avoid those problems, which is natural, right? Or maybe it's that you don't believe you can handle delivering to more clients than you currently have. So again, you're keeping yourself in this place of feeling safe. So unlocking some of these beliefs can sometimes be the one thing that unlocks everything for you. I love a little bit of strategy. And the strategy is nothing without the mindset piece as well. Go deep on this. I'm excited to see what you create this year. I'm excited to see how quickly and how potently you can scale your business and your income. Honestly, anything is possible. Enjoy the week, my beautiful humans, and we'll see you right back here next week.
It's a gift to vibe with you here every week. If you're digging the content, I would be honored if you'd leave a rating, a review, and subscribe to the show. Not just for me, but it's how women just like you find the pod. It truly is how we can all make an impact. More women being ridiculously fucking wealthy and building a life of their wildest dreams.